to me. Oh!
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. I have so much information to put into this hour. I won't be taking calls. I will take one question from our call-in line. But outside of that, we're going to have a commentary I'm writing about the state of our consciousness, also from John Whitehead about where we're at in our current understanding of what he calls American idiocy. I would agree with that. And then we're going to have a short investigative report on the AMA, Dr. Stephen Barrett, and Wikipedia trying to destroy chiropractic. They've tried. They haven't succeeded. And by the way, we found a letter that Stephen Barrett had written to the AMA talking about how he was going undercover and getting information on all these different groups. Well, we've published that now in the article that I broke yesterday on the program. But now we're going to be doing a series of somewhere around 50 to 100 short pieces, maybe 2 pages long, showing you what they say, meaning the people at Wikipedia, on health issues and what the actual peer-reviewed scientific literature shows. And I'll tell you why we're doing this. And I came up with this morning. One of the people who called in yesterday made a very salient point. He suggested that people are still trusting in our official institutions, such as the American Medical Association, or the FDA, or CDC. And if those have been corrupted or captured in any way by special interest groups, then how can we know that the information they're giving us is accurate and objective and honest? And I thought about that, and I thought that's a perfect opportunity for us to show that none, not one single one of our official institutions are objective and fair when it comes to sharing all the information that is available so you can make informed choices, whether it's about vaccines or about the type of food that you eat, GMOs versus organic, or places to live. Come down to Miami. Come down to South Beach. It's booming down there. No, it is sinking, and it's not sustainable. But who do you listen to? So we're taking on the issue of showing you how these institutions have betrayed our trust and that they have been captured. But we're going to show you their board of directors and the consultants that work for them and their backgrounds. So this will take a while to do. But by a year from now, you're going to know an awful lot more than what you did. Now, yesterday on our program, we did about a 15-minute segment on the truth of global warming and its real cost versus what the guest on Tucker Carlson's show had made comments the night before, making it seem, yeah, global warming exists, but it's not high up on priority list. Oh, yes, it is. Today, in Nebraska and Indiana, Illinois, many of the areas that were hit by floods and are still flooded, they talked about how 90% of the wells, and that's where people get their drinking water from their own wells, are polluted. That's a big deal. In fact, it is such a big deal that in Florida, we had to have the well completely cleaned, and it's a very time-consuming and costly, even doing it yourself. And then you have to take the water samples out and get them tested because nobody wants to drink polluted water. But once that water comes up, meaning the flood water comes up above the top of your well, it's going to go in the well. And if you have animals, then that means animal feces is there. Well, all these farms in the middle of the country in our farm belt, they have cattle or pigs or chickens. All that feces is now in the water, and that's in their wells. What do you think that's going to cost, both in the time taken to correct the problem, and also, what are they going to do for water In the interim, boil water. Boiling water does not get rid of heavy metals, doesn't get rid of medicines that are in there and nanoparticles. It's a challenge. They won't have clean water probably for the next year. They're going to have to be buying water brought in. And we're not talking about a few farms. We're talking about probably 95% of the farms. That's one of the costs. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. That's a cost that you will not see in any newspaper, but it's a real cost. What happens if you only use as a metrics people who died versus how it impacts people? Then you have a whole nother problem you have to address. You see, if you're living in a luxurious apartment building in New York City or in one of its boroughs, and you can walk down the street and whatever food you want, it's there and in abundance, and you can afford it. Whatever rent you're paying or mortgage or nothing, you bought it for cash, you can pay the taxes. It's not going to impact your standard of living. Wherever you want to socialize, you can. Whatever movie, play, it's there. But think of how beneficial that is to you. Now, do you say that everyone else has that same opportunity in the world? Not at all. 1 billion people, 1/7 of the world's population, is now food insecure and starving. 29 million people live in Yemen. 19 of those million are now suffering from severe life-threatening malnutrition and cholera and diseases, in addition to the fact that we're bombing them and supplying the bombs and the intelligence and the jets for Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates every day. Well, then the world isn't the same when you wake up for them. And right now, waking up in Arkansas isn't the same as waking up in another city. So be very careful when you listen to people say that we don't have a problem with global warming. We have a massive problem, and it's going to get worse, and it's not ever in your lifetime going to get better. I don't say that to disarm hope, because I'm extremely hopeful. In fact, this summer, I'm going to be teaching people who are interested homesteading for the future, including of how to freeze-dry food for 25 years so you have it when you need it, and you will need it, and how to grow plants and what ones to grow. So there's a lot of us. I'm not alone in this. There are probably 18 million Americans alone who are concerned about the future and looking proactively to do positive things because we're awake. We are, listen carefully, we are intentionally aware, intentionally educating ourselves, meaning we have the intent to know what others choose to be intentionally ignorant of, and as a result, intentionally denying responsibility for. So it's not all bad for those who want to see how to have a healthy and wonderful future. It's going to be awful bad for those who don't. We're also going to have a guest in the second part of our program, Ray McGovern, and we're going to give you a completely different perspective on Russiagate and why I believe, and I'm going to ask Ray McGovern, one of the greatest intelligence asset in American history, decades in the CIA as an analyst, to show that I'm wrong, where I believe that this was one of the best things that could have happened to the body politic, where the deep state manifested through the Democratic National Committee and the corporate Democratic members of Congress and the full media to show that they were willing to commit crimes against the state, treason, in order to get rid of Trump. Did I want to see Trump elected? Do I want to see him win another election? Absolutely not. But what they did is they showed their hand. And all this time when we've been talking about ways that everything can be controlled outside of our awareness, now it's within our awareness if we take advantage of it. That's coming at you. But first, we start with the latest on health and healing. And this comes from Oregon State University, and it's about your liver and colon and cancer in the liver and colon, which are generally deadly, but they can be helped with a simple a plant additive. It is known as a bitter. It is hops. That's correct. In fact, it helps to thwart cancer cells, and two important derivatives of the compound do very well with this, according to the research they did. And so I'm just mentioning this because there's a lot of plant-based chemicals that can function in our body to help rebalance the male and female sex hormones, to help limit cancer growth, and to cause healthy cells to be even stronger and cancer cells to be destroyed. So that's what we're seeing in hops. This is just new research. And that means that two non-estrogenic derivatives are attractive alternatives for using in clinical trials and in the treatment of cancer. And this was published in the International Journal of Molecular Science, a major journal. I'd just like to give you a heads up on what are called functional. Functional means that you take something in the body because it functions to do something specific and beneficial. Also from University of Freiburg, which is in Germany, anti-inflammatory plant-based diet, meaning the diet we talk about all the time on the program, helps to reduce gingivitis. Now, having a vegan but healthy vegan, remember, you could eat bread crust and, you know, say you're vegan, but doing it in a healthy way with a mixture of all the rainbow flavors and colors from a whole foods clean diet reduces gingivitis, and that was in a recent randomized trial published in the Journal of Clinical Parentology. So a plant-based diet is simply much healthier. You don't have all the processed carbohydrates and animal proteins that are a problem. You've got more vitamin C, vitamin D, antioxidants, plant nitrates, and fibers that help your teeth and help your gums. And that's important. And by the way, it also helps a lot of the gingival bleeding. And that decreases when you're taking vitamin D. Also, there's a tea, it's called oolong, O-O-L-O-N-G. And it promotes weight loss. This is according to the National Taiwan University and University of Florida. I suggest getting some oolong tea. You can buy it in bottles, but you could brew it yourself. And you could throw in some probiotics also. And this is published in the Journal of Food Science and Human Wellness. So if you want to lose weight, especially if you're obese, the compounds, what are called polyphenols, like EGCG and epicatechin gallate, these help you in gallic acid. They help you lose weight. They change your metabolism. They're really good for you. Also, according to the University of Toronto, our hands spread flame retardants and plasticizers throughout our homes. Hundreds of everyday items, from furniture to cell phones to floor wax to silverware, contain organophosphate esters and flame retardants and plasticizers. And some of these semi-volatile compounds make their way into the air and onto surfaces and even inside our bodies. And that's not good. So what can we do? First, there is almost always a natural cleaning material for the ones that we normally buy. For example, apple cider vinegar and lemon juice are two of the best natural cleaners you could have. Pour in a little bit of hydrogen peroxide to clean all your countertops and your silverware and the handles of your doors, your cell phone, your keypad. Just take a paper towel, spray that mixture onto the paper towel, and wipe it down. And if you do that on a regular basis, then you're going to have less contamination in your home. And now here's a simple thing I do, and you may benefit from it. I don't want to have anything that could have someone else's pathogens on it in my inner, my body. So when I get all my groceries home, I wash them. It's simple. I wash them you can use hydrogen peroxide, do it yourself, or you can buy one of the many different veggie cleaners that you just spray it on and agitate it and rinse it off. And then I dry it and put it in my refrigerator. That's a big help because there's generally about 24 separate hands, all contaminated, that touch your food before you do. But I do the same thing with every bottle. I don't care if it's a nut butter, almond butter, walnut butter, if it's one of the fatty acid bottles, vitamin bottles. Everything that has a surface is going to be touched. I simply clean it. It takes minutes. It's not being a germophobic. It's simply being prudent and minimizing the opportunity for pathogens to enter the body. By the way, that research was published in the American Chemical Society and that I mentioned about. Just start using natural substances to clean, disinfect your house. Don't use those artificial, let's say, what are they, room air fresheners? Those are chemicals, and you're breathing them in for weeks. Don't put them in your car either. Get a natural flavored one. Now, these are easy to use. They generally come in orange, lemon, lime, and sometimes other flavors as well, like vanilla or eucalyptus. And you can just spray it around your house. And when it goes in the air, it kills bacteria. So you spray it in your car air conditioning and heating vent. You can do the same thing in your house. And it keeps your surfaces less toxic. Also, a higher consumption of sugary beverages are linked to increased risk of death. Now, this is from Harvard School of Public Health. Let me just explain this, what Harvard is saying. What Harvard School of Public Health is saying is that the more sugar-sweetened beverages people consume, the greater the risk of premature death, particularly death from cardiovascular disease, and to a lesser extent from cancer. That's according to a large long-term study of men and women. So why is it the sugar-based drinks? Well, because a lot of it's high fructose corn syrup. And that is not what you want. Also, there's artificially sweetened beverages are also bad for you as well, impact your brain. So stay away from those. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Circulation. From Charles Sturt University, which is in Australia, olive biophenyls, that's in the olives and olive oil, reduces Alzheimer's pathology, at least in this laboratory experiment with mice. And many of us believe it also would help with humans because olives, eating them or drinking the olive oil on a salad or on brown rice or something, that protects you from the major neurodegenerative disease. And so we have in our brain what are called amyloid, AMYLOID, beta, BETA, or senile plaques. And it's well established that metals, particularly copper, zinc, and iron, play a key role in the pathogenesis of Alzheimer's. So if you're not taking in aluminum and mercury and lead from canned beverages and from food, and you begin to be very conscious of the fact that when you are looking to, let's say, take in olives, and there are hundreds of varieties of olives and olive oils, you're helping to dislodge that plaque. You can chelate plaque, especially if you take a drink of about 4 ounces a day of chlorella, which is a very powerful single-cell algae, and also Italian parsley. Those two together, terrific if you have any form of brain inflammation or conditions. And also, there was a sweetener that was banned in many countries because it causes cancer. This is from the Weill Cornell Medical Center. Consuming the equivalent of just one can of soda per day with that sweetener can increase to large tumors in the body. It's high fructose corn syrup. It causes insulin resistance, diabetes, hypertension, increased weight loss, not to mention it's manufactured from genetically modified corn. So remember, just one can a day plays havoc in your bloodstream, in your body. And this was published in the journal Science. So stay away from all high fructose corn syrup. And finally, tocotrienols. Toco, T-O-C-O, tri, T-R-I-E, nols, N-O-L-S, tocotrienols, modulate a life and death decision in cancers. This University of Nottingham. So according to this news report, malignancy often arises from sophisticated defects in the intricate molecular mechanisms in our cells, rendering a complicated molecular ground to effectively target cancers. And they found that when they took a look at all the tocotrienols, that it helped kill cancer cells in this process, a part of the signaling process. So take about 200 units of tocotrienols a day. That can make a difference. Oh, one last thing. To the person who stopped me yesterday on the street, as I was walking up to my office, you said, you heard that coconut oil was not healthy. To the contrary, coconut oil, according to all the research around the world, is really good for you. And unfortunately, our mainstream media has not presented this. Why? I can't tell you that. But recent studies confirm that coconut oil protects your heart. It also potentially protects other vital organs, including your liver and kidneys, especially if you're suffering from diabetes. This research contradicts the propaganda against coconut oil by the American organization, such as the American Heart Association, which still promote the now failed theory of heart disease that blames saturated fats and cholesterol as causative factors. So those are just some of the issues. We're going to take a break and come right back with your question. We're 22 minutes into our program. Please stay with us.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've
got... Gary, wouldn't this vaccination debate be solved simply by comparing the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated? That should be the challenge to the vaccine makers. You could do a double-blind placebo study or just check historical medical records of the vaxxed versus the unvaxxed to see which group is the healthiest.
You are correct. Here is the problem. They've never done such a study. Now, we do have a large group of Mennonites and Amish people who do not vaccinate. And they don't have any statistically significant causes or cases of autism. But that isn't really the kind of study you're referring to. That's merely an observational study. Or it could be considered something of an epidemiological study. You're studying a group of people, comparing them to another group. Like one group of people, like the Maasai in Africa, have very low diseases that are inflammatory. And you can compare their diet, but we don't. And we should. So here's what I found. But I'm going to take you back in time. I'm going to take you back to when I did the first article with Robert Houston, one of the finest investigative researchers in America. And Robert and I together did an article that nobody wanted to publish, not Mother Jones, not The Nation, not Atlantic, Harper's, East Village, other. Nobody would touch it because we showed that the entire cancer establishment was compromised, that they were looking at synthetic products. They were putting all their energy and money into a small group of people who controlled the President's National Cancer Panel, and no one had ever exposed that before. We did. And so after we published this article, then we did a whole series. I must have done, I think, around 58 cover stories over a 26-year period that I was working, writing for the magazine. And one of those was on Dr. Lawrence Burton, and I got a call from 60 Minutes. And one of the leading producers brought me in and asked me to bring my research, and I took two whole giant cardboard cases of research files in. And I met with Don Hewlett, who was the executive producer. And they asked me about this guy, and I said, yeah, he's a real McCoy. He was. He helped a lot of people who otherwise be dead. He was down in the Bahamas at that time. And then I started to look at who was really supporting the status quo. And it was the Pan Am group. So I made this proposal. I'd be willing to fund a study of 100 terminally ill people that you select them, and give them the best standard care for cancer that we have available from our cancer establishment, whether it's chemotherapies or radiation. But at the same time, you select another 100 that we will give natural therapies to, like Dr. Lawrence Burton, in this case exclusively Dr. Burton. But then select 100 that I will work with. You select the patients, and they must all be terminally ill. And I have put together a protocol that I believe and knew for a fact could help improve people's lives, and many save their lives. And therefore, you got your mainstay as your control, and you've got Burton, and then you've got a completely different type with, because Burton wasn't in the diet, but all the other alternative therapies I could use, they wouldn't do it. They refused to do it. Why? No different than when I made this suggestion that we will pay for a study of taking 1,000 children who've never been vaccinated and don't vaccinate them, but give them a protocol that will be a way of naturally stimulating immune enhancement. Another group of 1,000 that you give all your vaccines and then cross-match them, same age, same weight, etc., and then check them every 3 months for 3 years to see what their immune markers are, their antibody level markers are, and what conditions they've come down with during that three-year period. That would be the right way, and they won't do it. They won't, because they know the truth, that there is no such thing as a safe vaccine for any given individual. The fact that someone does not die or regress into autism spectrum disorder does not mean they have not been damaged, because many times damage is slow to show itself. Sometimes up to 2 to 3 years after vaccine do you see the damage. But also, we have a whole epidemic today in the United States of inner ear infections, autoimmune conditions, asthma, mental tics, where people will jerk their head, or almost like tardive dyskinesia. You'll start to see it in their eyes. Their eyes won't hold eye contact with you. They might be learning differently, learning slower. We have a whole industry of specialists helping people with vaccine-injured children to improve their health. That's also part of the vaccine dynamic. And it's only with the 7 million parents of vaccine-injured children standing up, going on general strike. Just yesterday, in Algeria, that had been a colony of several countries, not the least of which was France, they went on general strike. Every kind of job imaginable, they went off, including the police, armed forces, to see that the current president doesn't get another term, and to change the corruption in their system. We have never done that in the United States. We need to. We need a general strike to close down everything, or we're just going to have more of the same. In fact, I heard something this morning. I heard our sister station, WBAI, they had a program, and they had Congresswoman Cortez's either campaign, one of the campaign heads that was important in her campaign, and she was very sincere, but she made a statement, and I wish she would have thought, I wish they would have all thought differently, but they don't. And that is, she was talking about, yeah, we need money, lots of money. And she emphasized lots and lots of money. But ours is from small donors. And I thought, stop a moment. Think of what you're saying. We don't want and shouldn't have any money from small donors or major corporations in elections. You corrupt the system. What we need is we need not a penny to go into an election for anyone. Instead, it's relatively simple. You have a lottery. Those who would like to run for an office will write out a series of answers to questions about their capability, their experience, and why we should find them of interest in electing them to any office. those individuals then have an opportunity to do video tape of their positions. And let's say we take, for every person we take, 50 positions, like universal health care and demilitarization of American influence around the world and no more funding of these regime changes and a day of reckoning with what we call truth and reconciliation like South Africa and other countries have done. And you have like 50 of these. And then we can hear directly from the person what their beliefs are. Then we can, this would go to every person. We would all have access to this. And then we could bring together, by lottery, people to do open debates. And it wouldn't just be for the Democrat and Republican, which have captured the system. They own the system. And hence they exclude independents. Now let's face it. If you're a responsible and reasonable person, and you look at the candidates for the last 50 years, the best candidates have been independent candidates. Ralph Nader, Rocky Anderson, Jill Stein, etc. But the average person was not aware of them. They might have known their name, but they didn't know their positions. Then from those, you simply have an online lottery. So it breaks it down to your final, let's say, five, and then you vote. That would be a right way of doing it. No money, no lobbying, no special interest, no behind-the-scenes deals, no continuing this, and you get a term limit. You're allowed to be in office for 3 years, whether it's the president, a senator, and you cannot go back to any other, you can't go back and run again. I wished I would have heard people talk about that instead of we just need as much money as they're getting, but from smaller donors. That doesn't change the problem. So that answers that question. Now I want to share some thoughts with you. Let's take an honest look back over the last 50 years. How many of you wondered, am I living today or is this in the version of the Twilight Zone? I have a lot of respect for constitutional lawyer John W. Whitehead, and I want to share some of his thoughts. I want to share some of my thoughts, because what's happening now is that we're developing a new citizenry. Unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, this will be very selective about cereals and automobiles, but won't be able to think. Who said that? Rod Sterling. So have you noticed how much life increasingly is like that episode? Only instead of Rod Serling's imaginary land of both shadow and substance of things and ideas, I believe that we're trapped in a upside-down, all-too-real land of corruption, brutality, lies, self-interest, narcissism, especially in younger people or people in power, where freedom and justice and integrity play second fiddle to political ambition and corporate greed and bureaucratic tyranny. Why do you think I did yesterday's program about Stephen Barrett? Because it was Barrett who single-handedly did more to attack chiropractic. So people thought it was really an unscientific cult, but it wasn't. It's a real and vital and very beneficial healing modality, and it has good science to back it up. But on the one hand, our bureaucracy said it didn't. The AMA is a bureaucracy and self-interested for lobbyists, for it's a union for doctors. And on the other hand, our governmental agencies that was allowing their policies to be dictated by the AMA and the Stephen Barretts and Wikipedia. That, to me, in my opinion, that's bureaucratic tyranny. It's not merely that life in the American police state is more brutal or more unjust or even more corrupt. It's getting more idiotic, more perverse, more outlandish by the day. Somewhere over the course of the past 240 years, democracy has given way to idiocratic design and reprehensible, repetitive, repressive government. And that means we have kleptocracy, a government ruled by thieves. Look at all the cabinet members, not just the ones now with Trump out of the swamp. Look at Obama's. Did you know that it was Julian Assange who gave us information, and are you aware that Julian Assange never once, now for 10 million documents, was shown to be wrong? That showed that Obama's entire cabinet was selected by an executive at Citibank. That was one of the emails. Why wasn't he criticized for that? The fact that the swamp monsters have a more, let's say, alluring or acceptable veneer doesn't mean they're any less of a kleptocrat. And that means that the government is run by unprincipled career politicians, corporations, and thieves that panders to the worst vices in our nature and has little regard for the rights of American citizens. If you doubt me, in Georgia, political organizers posted a black media-only sign outside of a Baptist church. It barred all white reporters from attending a meeting about an upcoming mayoral election. In Arizona, a SWAT team raided a family's home in the middle of the night, all guns drawn, on the say-so of Child Protective Services because they wanted the child of that parent to be vaccinated. So they had 10 guys, I believe, with arms, and there are the parents sleeping. They kidnapped their baby to give him a vaccine, which sounded the alarm after the parents determined that their 2-year-old, who had been suffering a 100-degree fever, was feeling better and didn't need to be admitted to the hospital. In Virginia, landlords are requiring dog owners to submit their pet's DNA to a database that will be used to track down and fine owners who fail to clean up after their dogs. In Texas, a police officer who allegedly gave a homeless man a sandwich with dog feces will not be held accountable for his actions. In Illinois, Chicago police used a battering ram and a sledgehammer to crash into a family home with weapons drawn, terrorizing the young children gathered for a 4-year-old's birthday party, only to find that they were in the wrong house. In Kansas, a 60-year-old black man, in the process of moving into his new house, was held at gunpoint and handcuffed by police, who refused to believe that this black gentleman was a homeowner and not a burglar. If you're starting to notice a pattern here, it speaks to the fact that nearly 50 years after Serling's creative brainchild, The Twilight Zone, premiered on national television, we're still fumbling around in the dark, trying to make sense of a world dominated by racism, cruelty, war, violence, poverty, prejudice, intolerance, ignorance, injustice, and a host of other social maladies and spiritual evils. The Twilight Zone was an oasis in television wasteland, a show that captured imaginations and challenged moral hypocrisy and societal prejudices and railed against inhumanity and racism and prejudice and the mechanisms of human beings by way of their technology. So where are we at? Here we are, we're afraid. Fear is the same today as it was then. Prejudice is the same. Ignorance is the same. Hate and war and tyranny are unchanged. Police officers are still shooting unarmed civilians. Bloated government agencies are still fleecing taxpayers. Government technicians are still spying on our communities and communications. And American citizens are still allowing themselves to be manipulated by their fears and pitted one against the other. All of these themes are happening today. Yeah, we've had a lot of truth tellers. Noam Chomsky is a truth teller. I believe him. But think throughout history. Think of the people like the great authors who told us the truth but weren't believed in their day. And only now do we see the relevance of what they had to say in 1984. Think of the relevance today, where the truth becomes a lie. Last night, on my program, the Progressive Commentary Hour, I presented a one-hour evidence-based program where you heard from scientists, physicians, people on a medical team, and journalists of integrity, ironic, all black journalists, who had evidence, prima facie hard evidence, patient records that were given with permission of the patient because they would not invite me on the program till their doctors were 100% convinced that what I was doing, helping people with AIDS with my protocols, worked. And when they were convinced, they then said, come on the programs. So you saw me on those programs with people who talked about having reversed their AIDS, not just their AIDS conditions, all their many different thrush and cytomegalovirus and HIV infection, but completely reversed their status from HIV positive to HIV negative. I've never put that on the air before. I did because it was time to show the truth. Because like Orwell, the establishment said it can't be done except with drugs, but they've never done it with drugs. We did it without drugs many, many times, working from 8 in the morning till midnight without fee and charging them nothing. They were on an accelerated program. Now, for those of you who couldn't see it, I'm going to play that in the next couple of days on this station, or at least to the stations that weren't able to watch it, and some people don't have the internet. So that's a truth that's been suppressed, showing the dangers of vaccine with people who've spent as many as 20,000 hours studying it, knowing the truth. You'll never see them on the mainstream media because their truth will not be allowed. Their truth is a danger to those who live by the lie and self-interest. I had someone say to me this morning when I took a call here in the office, they said, aren't you afraid? Do you really think that the companies and the people and the foundations, the think tanks behind the vaccine movement that you're challenging, behind the AIDS movement and the $800 billion they've made and profiting off of it at other people's pain and loss, do you think that the GMO people are going to allow you to continue to expose them? Do you think Wikipedia is going to allow you to continue to expose all of their lies? They're going to hit back, Gary. Aren't you afraid? And I said, do you think they're going to hit back any less? Do you think they're going to pull their punch? No. If I stop saying things, they will hit back. You can be guaranteed of that. How they will, we'll see. But I've been telling the truth for 52 years, writing it, producing documentaries, and daily broadcast. So truth tellers are amongst us, and they all take a hit. Think of that for a moment. Wrap your mind around that. Every whistleblower for exposing corruption is now attacked and many imprisoned. But the people that they were exposing, the crimes they exposed, scot-free. So when you tell the truth about corruption, you are penalized. You're the enemy. That's the world we live in. That's how bad it's gotten. So we have to realize that we must pick up the social commentary through real communications, not excluding people because we disagree with them on some ideological or political basis. We need more open discussions, not less. We need more honesty, not less. When KPFA's Pacifica's station would not allow Bonnie Faulkner and I to come out and to broadcast a challenge to the law that was about to be enacted in California against mandatory vaccines, we had only science on our side. But they had the power of censorship, and they exercised it. As a result, the law passed, but it was very close. The question is, would it not have passed if we had had that form? So says those who deny the truth. And they did. And they do to this day. So be conscious of the choices you make, because we're living in a primarily an unconscious world. I'm Gary Knoll, back in a moment with my guest. Please stay with me. Let's go right now down to North Carolina. We're standing by as Ray McGovern. And Ray has served as an Army intelligence officer and a CIA analyst for 27 years. He served under seven different presidential administrations, from John F. Kennedy to George H.W. Bush. His duties were preparing the president's daily brief. Now he is here today He writes for Consortium News. Nice to have you with us again, Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be back with you.
Ray, I'm going to ask you just one major question and take it wherever you wish, all right?
Sure.
We believe that as the media, the mass media believes that the president of the United States and the people close to him engaged in collusion with the Russians. Everything, every day, on Rachel Maddow and all the other programs, were about Russia, Russia, Russia. As a result, I have yet to see important major piece of legislation that would benefit all Americans, like infrastructure repair and demilitarization, etc., being taken on as a responsibility of these people. Now it's come out, and it's been shown that he did not collude. It doesn't matter that I and others don't like him. I believe that what we saw was nothing less than a coup d'etat, and for the first time, at least to my knowledge, they showed their hand, who the players were, and yet the media has refused to accept this and is looking for any reason to keep it all on Trump. Could you tell us what you and the other people that you communicate with within the intelligence community who have deep experience, what they discovered from all this and what the results have shown and what it tells us about the people in power that had Hillary Clinton been elected, none of these people would have been exposed. We wouldn't have known what they were capable of doing to keep the people that they want to be associated with in power and exclude those they don't. The forum is yours.
Well, Gary, you put your finger right on it. What Americans have difficulty understanding is how our top judicial, our top law enforcement, and our top intelligence officials could participate in this kind of thing. A soft coup is an adequate description. They tried to prevent Trump from winning, and then after he won, they did everything they could to emasculate him by this campaign, saying he was a Russian stooge. Now, that's pretty new to me. I've been in Washington before I moved down here last week for 55 years. I've never seen the like of it. Now, we have been trying to expose this, and what has emerged is that Russiagate has very clearly morphed into FBI gate, and even the Wall Street Journal pundits are beginning to recognize that and publish on that. So what we have here is a conundrum that the American people have trouble understanding because they can't understand how this could have happened. And the way what they need to know is what Jim Comey said before Congress when he said, quote, "We were operating in an environment where everyone expected Hillary Clinton to be the next president of the United States," period, end quote. What does that mean? Well, that means that whatever we do to encourage that, and they did lots to encourage it by letting her off scot-free on the email scandal, and whatever we can do to prevent Trump from winning, well, that's fair game because she's a hands-down favorite. She's not going to lose. And, you know, when she wins, we're not going to be held accountable for this. We'll be able to disguise all the evidence, and we'll be able to get off scot-free. So if the presumption was, that, as it was right up until the last week before the election, that Hillary was a hands-down favorite, then there's not only no disincentive to doing everything you can to help her and hurt Trump, but also there's this this confidence that you don't even have to be very careful with your tradecraft. You can put on the record what you're doing. You can talk about it in texts. You can do things that the tradecraft would absolutely forbid if it were, you know, if they weren't confident, they wouldn't be found out. So bottom line here, the intelligence committees, judiciary committees, government reform committees in both houses of the Congress have the goods on these guys. And so the question is, will they be held to account? Now, I'm not a betting man, but I've never seen what we call the deep state now, that is the FBI, CIA, parts of the Justice Department itself. I've never seen them lose this kind of thing. They always win. The deep state wins. And Trump has shown himself very reluctant to take them on. I'm sure he's been counseled. Look, you know, listen to what Chuck Schumer said 3 weeks before you took office. He said, don't do something foolish like take on the intelligence community because they have 6 ways to Sunday to get you back, okay? So what we have here is an atmosphere of fear. And the only question I have now is that since Trump has been vindicated, and there's no gainsaying that, he has been, will he proceed against these internal people who digged up this cockamamie story about him being a Russian spy, and will he proceed against them? The more worrisome question, and I really worry about this, is, look, the Democrats have given Trump a big, big gift. He's riding high. He says he's been vindicated, and he has. Yeah, we need to read the whole thing, the whole Mueller report, but there's no question in my mind but that the bar would not falsify the conclusions of Mueller. Why do I mention all that? Well, Trump is not all that stable, and he's in possession of an incredible military might. He's mercurial, and he's got John Bolton, of all people, and Elliot Abrams, of all people, a convicted felon. Pompeo, who believes in the rapture, he's got them whispering in his ears, go get Venezuela, go invade Venezuela. Now, Trump is way out on a limb. He said the Russians have to leave. Russians have to leave Venezuela. Well, there are only about 200 there, okay? But if he forces this, you know, if he listens to these people, and of course the geographic and other advantages are in the U.S. favor, then I fear that what the Russians have done, which is pretty much stick a stick in Trump's eye. Bolton said, "You've got to get out." Now, the Russians are not going to get out. And so you have people like Fareed Zakaria saying, oh, we have to make war. Then are you going to wimp out there, Trump? So that's my major concern right now. Let me refer just to one other thing, Gary. You had said that people ask you, aren't you afraid? Well, I've been asked that question. Here's a little story. In May of 2006, I happened to be in Atlanta the same time Donald Rumsfeld was, and I insinuated myself into a think tank where he was speaking, and I asked him questions in the Q&A, questions that he lied about, and they were very direct questions, and it caused such a stir because it was on live TV that Anderson Cooper called me, and he says, Mr. McGovern, you're causing quite a stir down here in Atlanta. Let me just ask you one question. Weren't you afraid? Weren't you afraid? Now, I was sort of shell-shocked. There was a four-minute debate, and somewhere I said, well, no, I wasn't afraid. I'm in the habit of briefing Secretary's defense, and then I thought, Gary, wait a second. Here's Anderson Cooper, heir to the Vanderbilt fortune, pretty boy on CNN. He's asking me, wasn't I afraid? And so I said, let him have it, Ray. And I said, Anderson, let me be really candid with you. I had done my homework. I knew that I'd asked those questions of Rumsfeld, have to lie again and be exposed. It was a real high, Anderson. It was really, let me recommend that you do your homework and ask
Rumsfeld and the like real questions. You'll find it's a real, real high. So, well, very well and good. Have your people, I'll have my people get in touch with your people. I said, no, don't do that. I don't have any people. Just call me back. Now, I went on this show that night, and just to show the tenor of this discussion, he began again by saying, Mr. McGovern, weren't you afraid? My God, you're not supposed to be afraid if you're a journalist, least of all if you're an intelligence analyst asking substantive questions. And so people ask me now, aren't you afraid speaking out against the deep state? Because this is the FBI, right? This is the FBI that has raided many of my colleagues' homes and so forth. No, I'm not afraid. I'm almost 80 years old. I have lots to offer this country still. And I'm not going to stop speaking until I'm no longer able to do that. So it's reached quite a pass here. Last thing I'll just add.
Yeah, you have 30 seconds, Ray. We're running out of time, please.
Okay, yeah. After the weapons of mass destruction debacle, I happened to be at an editorial meeting of the Detroit Free Press. They were shocked that no weapons of mass destruction were found. And so I explained to them why. They were still shocked, but they had the presence of mind and the decency 2 days later to do an editorial saying what they did was mislead the American people, and they suggested that other editorial boards issue the same disclaimer or the same apology. Now, nobody did. Washington Post guy said, well, yeah, if weapons of mass destruction weren't there, we probably shouldn't have stated it as flat fact. They suffered no consequences, and that's what I'm afraid will happen in this Russiagate fiasco.
I agree. Ray, thank you very much for all your good work and your courage. We look forward to another conversation.
Thank you, Gary.
Ray McGovern, and you can read his website is raymcgovern.com. And his writings are on consortiumnews.com. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening and watching. More tomorrow. Have a nice day.
So much to give. Understand each other.